Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Sing it with me, say
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God,
that is who you are.
Miracle worker,
Welcome to St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church morning worship service. We're glad that you're here. For those of you joining us at home, virtually, on the various platforms, we greet you in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Join with me for a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we've come this morning to say thank you. We thank you, Lord, for being so great. We thank you for being so majestic. Master, we know you as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. So be with us, Lord, this morning as we lift your holy name up, as we praise you for who you are and for all that you've done up to this point. Lord, we know you are worthy to be praised because of all that we've experienced, because of all that our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. We thank you, Master. Please be with us as we share and unpack your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For those of you that are joining us on today's worship program, we ask that you continue to lift God up and also to keep our pastors in prayer. Pastor Emeritus Dr. Ephraim Williams, continue to lift him up in prayer, as well as Pastor Reese, continue to lift him and his family up in prayer as well. Our sermon this morning is coming from the New Testament, from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 25 through 31. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 25 through 31. And before we get started, wanted to just give a background on this particular book. The theme for 1 Corinthians, the book, is the wisdom of God as seen in the message of the cross and the resurrection of Christ as applied to the total life of the church. Let me repeat it again. The theme of 1 Corinthians is the wisdom of God as seen in the message of the cross and the resurrection of Christ as applied to the total life of the church. And in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 through 31, we wanted to take a look at a subject that we all need to tie around our necks, bind it on the tables of our heart, and wrap it around your finger. In verse 25, Paul starts off by saying, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and despised things, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And for our subject this morning, we want to talk about reasons to boast in the Lord. Reasons to boast in the Lord. When we look at first century, in terms of the apostles, in terms of first century Christians, there was a mindset, a pedagogy, a theology that splintered into two factions. You had the Jews who were looking for a sign. Then you had the Greeks who were chasing after wisdom. And the Greeks were impressed with scholarship. They were impressed with how much you could learn. They were impressed with philosophy. They were focused on head knowledge. And getting all of this logic and getting all this philosophy and learning is not a bad thing. But when learning supersedes the wisdom of God, then we have a problem. Then the Jews were looking for a sign. The Jews couldn't wrap their minds around a Savior who was born in a manger. They couldn't wrap their minds around a Savior who would come in a humble fashion and submit himself under Roman government. The Jews were looking for a Savior who would come with thunder and roaring. So when Jesus came on the scene, people had issues. They couldn't wrap their minds around God's plan and how God wanted to insert the Messiah into humanity. People had problems with it. So the Jews criticized the Christians, those who agreed to accept Christ and to make him their Lord and Savior. Many of the Jews scoffed, and they couldn't wrap their minds around this Jesus who was born to Mary, this Jesus who grew up in Nazareth. A matter of fact, the question was, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But God, through his providence, saw fit to usher Jesus through the bloodline of Joseph and Mary, and thus confounded the wisdom of this world. Then we learn something. Not only could they not wrap their minds around the Savior, they had issues dealing with God and his providence. How can God set forth motion to insert the Messiah into humanity this way? They saw it as weak. God should have came with thunder and destroyed the oppressors. God should have came in. Jesus should have came in their minds, riding on a cloud, speaking things into existence to destroy all of the people that opposed his people. But God didn't do it that way. God didn't do it that way. And if we look at today, we find so many people bragging about how smart they are, how articulate they are, how many degrees they may have. We talk about people that brag about who they know and where they've been. Everybody's bragging. But today, we're sharing with you reasons to boast about the Lord. This world is full of people who go through this life, as I said before, talking about what they've accomplished. These individuals stand on their own soapbox and they boast numerously, plentifully about what they've accomplished. Many of us are well acquainted with boasting. Some of you watching us this morning, You've been boasting all week about how your team is still in the bubble and how your team is going to the playoffs and how your team is going to win the championship. You have no problem boasting about your sports team. But are we boasting about the Creator? Are we boasting about Jesus the Christ? We're well acquainted with boasting. You talk about how you met him or how you met her. You boast about your significant other. Many people have no problem with boasting. Look at me. This is what some of you all say. Look at me, because I've pulled myself up by my own bootstrap. We brag about how disciplined we are. We brag about how sharp we were. We brag about how successful we've been. Some even say, I graduated from this prestigious institution. I graduated from Harvard. I graduated from Princeton, and I graduated from Yale. We're filled with braggadocious people. Some say, I come from a distinguished family. These are my people. We brag. Then some say, I have multiple degrees. Look at all these degrees that I have. Look at all these plaques on my wall. We brag. We brag about everything. Some even say, I belong to so-and-so exclusive club. We're bragging. Then I live in this gated community. Some of you all brag about where you live, your zip code. I come from a long line of so-and-so. Again, we brag about our genealogy and heritage. But I can remember the Apostle Paul saying that I count it all as lost, that I may know him. In the power of his resurrection and his fellowship of his suffering, that I may know him. That's the type of bragging the Bible is endorsing. Now, healthy self-esteem is one thing, but to give yourself credit for something that you didn't do is totally different. The Apostle Paul in this letter reminds the church about biblical praise that's worthy of God's accolade. This church in Corinth needed a reminder. They needed a healthy dose of humility. They may have embraced and touted this wisdom as found in secular humanism. They even touted how special they were for those that were Jews about their pedigree. But I'm telling you, human success is not enough. Worldly knowledge can only take you so far. They needed to reanalyze as well as reassess what they always believed to be true. This church could not forget what Christ had done for them. They did not even measure up to human standards. They were not considered wise. They were not influential and did not come from distinguished heritage. Let me repeat that again. This Corinthian church was composed or consisted of individuals before Christ found Christ saved them, who were not considered wise by other people. Some were not considered influential by other people. And some did not come from distinguished pedigree. And that's the case with us. Christ found us, or Christ saved us, at a point where many of us, we knew that we, as many ministers say, we were toe up from the floor up. Christ found us in a condition where many people had given up on us, where we thought that we were outcasts. Christ saved us. Christ saved us from how we used to be to where we need to be. So we can't forget that. And because of that, we got to boast. We got to boast about this Jesus who saved us. We got to boast about this Jesus who redeemed us. We have to boast about this Jesus who changed us, who transformed our minds. We have to boast about this Jesus who put love in our heart. We have to boast about this Jesus who gave us the master plan. So many in the world have passed on people in the church. Those that we thought would never act right, Jesus saved them, and now they're deacons, now they're trustees, now they're on the Sunday school board, now they're pastors, they're missionaries, people that the world had put aside, Jesus has saved. And because of that, those that are recipients of his grace, we must boast. We must tell it like it is. We must do like the Samaritan woman who said, come see a man. Come see a man who told me all about myself, and come see a man who can change you too. And because of her testimony, men in the village came running to Jesus. Here is the same woman who had a scandalous reputation. God saved him, and she had the can't help us. She couldn't help but to go back home and say, come see a man. In a sense, she was boasting. Come see this man who can change you from before to after. Come see this man who can change you from being loose and being lascivious to being a righteous and useful woman for the kingdom of God. Come see a man. And that's what we need to do. We need to tell it like it is. If Jesus has done anything for you, we got to tell it. How do we tell it? Do what you've been doing all these months. Get on your Facebook and tell people how good Jesus is. Get on your Instagram. Tell people how good Jesus has been. Get on your LinkedIn page. Tell people how good Jesus has been to you. Get on your YouTube channel. Tell people how good Jesus has been to you. Get on your Twitter and tweet. Jesus is good. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is great. And you too can have a relationship. We got to brag about Jesus. For when we lift him up, that's when people get saved. When we lift him up, that's when people receive peace. When we lift him up, that's when people are able to get along with them. So we need to boast. And the only person that doesn't want us to boast is the devil himself. So go ahead and tell it like it is. Go ahead and tell people how good Jesus has been to you. Again, many in the world have passed on us, had given up on us. They've already signed off on our obituary that we wouldn't amount to anything but Jesus. Can't you hear the ringing sound of the scoffers? You won't become much. You're not smart enough. You're not the right height. You're not the right color. Can't you hear them? You come from the wrong side of the track. You don't know the right people to get your foot in the door. You didn't get your degree from so-and-so school. The world had given us a false sense of what it means to belong and what it means to have a true family, what it means to experience true and legitimate love. The world had given up on many of us, or the world had embraced us, but then used us, then dropped us. God didn't give up on us. We were viewed a certain way before we met Jesus. But because of who he is and because of what he's done, he's given us reasons to boast. So there are three reasons we ought to be boasting. The first reason is God had called us. God had called us. In verse 26, for you see your calling. The Greek word here is klesen, and it means to call someone to perform a task. In other words, God called us not to sit. God didn't call us to sit on the sideline. God didn't save us not to have anything to do. God called you with a specific task. If you are called to teach, you ought to teach. If you called to sing, you ought to sing. If you called to administrate, you need to administrate. If you called to pray on behalf of others, you ought to intercede. If you called to be a Bible study teacher, you ought to teach. As I said, if you called to preach and become a minister, go ahead and minister. God called us with a specific task in mind. Now, I don't have time to go through all the things that you all are doing. There are some people that have used this pandemic opportunity and they haven't stopped ministering. Some people are calling every day to check on other people. Some people are making food and delivering to other people. God has called all of us to work. When God saved us, he had a plan in mind. He had a task in mind. You may be wondering, how come my prayers are not being answered? Well, let me ask you this. Have you been doing what the Lord asked you to? When we are saved, God gives us a task. God gives us something to do. Have you been sitting on the sideline too long? But let me tell you this. If you're sitting on the sideline, you're not getting the blessings that you could get. Yeah, you may be getting some blessings, but you're not getting all of them. There's a blessing in performing our task for Jesus. This is why we can boast. I can boast because I remember vividly walking the streets, knocking on doors, sharing the gospel, going door to door, sharing the gospel. I remember one time a family that didn't speak English, and we didn't speak their language, but we prayed and we used the youngest person in the family who did speak English, and he interpreted what we were saying to the family. And then we asked the young man, ask your family members, do they want to accept Christ? And he interpreted for the family, and they said yes. And we just stood out there praising God and thanking him for being in the presence and using us because he gave us that task. So there are blessings that only come from being obedient and fulfilling the task that God has for us. This is why we can boast. God used us on that day as intermediaries for himself so others could be saved. And so we can brag about the God who transcends language, the God who gave us language, and the God who can save even though we have difficulties. So we all have something to brag about. There are so many people walking around this world looking for their purpose. They're trying to find themselves, they say. God desires to save them and connect them with their true purpose. It's because of this absolute plan that we now have joy. He has connected us with what we ought to be doing. There's no better testimony than to see people connected the right way, connected with their gifts, and to apprehend the work that God has given them. We boast in the Lord because of his plan for our lives. I boast in the Lord because he's the one that directed my path. Yes, for those of you who know me, and to many of you may be a surprise, my passion was music. My passion was getting a record contract. My passion was rapping in the 80s. My passion was being on stage and performing. But then God saved me and put me on the trajectory that he wanted me to go on. And so for that, I boast in him because now in retrospect, I see what he was shielding me from. I see what he was keeping me away from. But now he's put me on this trajectory where he wants to use my gifts to help others. So I boast in the Lord. I boast in the Lord because I see my divine purpose. Then number two, it's not just a calling. The text tells us that God chose us. God chose us. We've been chosen, verses 27 through 29. And the word chosen in the Greek is exalaxato. Exalaxato means selected by God. God knew beforehand that we would accept his son. As a result, he had adopted us into his family. Paul, in another text, said that he grafted us into the family. It is the same word that Jesus used when he called the 12, when he called the disciples. John 6, verses 70. John 6, 70, when Jesus called the disciples, it's the same word, exalexato. It is the same word used in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 19. The same word, called. Called by God and set apart. Called by God, but yet set apart. We call by God, but yet set apart for his use. God has called us, but yet set us apart for his use. It's the same word as sanctification. It's the same word as holiness. God has called each one of you, but yet he set you apart. Now the question is, are we in agreement with God? Are we willing to be set apart for God to use us? And I'm hoping you're saying yes. And if you've been set apart by God, you see how different you are. You see how peculiar you are. You see how much peace you have in your home. You see how much joy reigns in your heart. When you've been set apart by God for his use, you're not only fulfilling your purpose, but you're blessing other people. Your lifestyle has changed. God is working on you so you can be a blessing to others. So if you belong to the world, as Jesus says, it will love you as its own if you belong to the world. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of this world. That is why the world hates you. Let me read that again. We find this text in John 15, verse 19. If you belong to the world, it's a rhetorical question. It will love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I have chosen you. Exelixato, I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So as Christians, yes, they may talk about you. Oh, you think you're so holy. Oh, you think you miss perfect. You miss the perfect. Oh, you think you know everything. It's not that you are coming across as knowing everything. It's that they can't see your perspective. They can't see that you are a gift to them. They can't see what God is calling on you to share with them. They can't see, or they suppress the truth and are unwilling to see what God is doing through you. Because if they knew where God brought you from, they too will be shouting on you on your behalf. You will be boasting if you thought about all the stuff God has delivered you from. Some of you all were sick in your hospital bed and the doctor had given up on you. But look at God. Some of you all used to be gossipers and the news media couldn't beat you to telling the truth. But now look at you. You mind your own business and you're not out on the street spreading gossip. Some of you all used to break the law and cut corners. But look at you. God has saved you right where you are, and now you don't do that anymore. So God has chosen us. And not only has he chosen us, it gives us this perspective of God's sovereignty. God saw that we would accept him, and as a result, God could tell others, God could let us know that we belong to him, right? We accepted Christ, but at the same time, God chose us. We are chosen, but yet free. God has touched our heart, and he has saved us from this world. He has paid the ransom for us to be on his side. So God chose us for a purpose. And again, God is not just sitting there on the throne, not caring about us. God wants everybody to be saved. So if you're not saved this morning, I'm hoping that this message is speaking to you. And once you accept Christ, you too can brag. You too can brag about how God gave you a spiritual makeover. You too can brag about how God helped you with the can't help us. You know, I can't help but to lie. I can't help but to be a womanizer. I can't help but to cheat. I can't help but to defraud. I can't help but to commit sin. Christ nailed it all up on the cross. He nailed it all up on the cross. All that can't help us. Lord, I can't forgive. He nailed it to the cross. Lord, I can't minister the way that I need to. He nailed it to the cross. All the I can'ts. God nailed it to the cross. And because of that, we ought to brag. We ought to tell other people how we've overcome, how God has saved us, how God has promoted us, how God has renewed our way of thinking. We ought to brag about it. There are those that are bragging on these telecommercials about how this medicine has affected them, how they took this or applied this and it made them better. Well, we too need to be telling and making our own telemarketing devices. Tell others, tell your girlfriends, tell your boyfriends how God has been good to you, because he's been good. He's been better than good. God has been awesome. He's been good. God has done so much for us that we ought to tell others. He has chosen us. And I'm so glad he chose us, because it could be me out there. It could be me out on the street. It could be me without any food to eat. It could be me without shelter. So thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing for me. So we can boast about the calling. We can boast about being chosen. Then lastly, we can boast about the Christian virtues. We can boast about the Christian virtues. It's right there in verse 30. We can boast about these Christian virtues. And it reads, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. In this text, Paul reveals to us it is through Christ we develop these Christian virtues. He talks about wisdom, Sophia. Wisdom is not just information, it's not just knowledge, but it's the correct application of what you know. A lot of people with education, but they have no wisdom. When the Holy Spirit is raining on your heart, he leads you to wisdom. And it starts by first seeking God's face, and you find it in his word, what it means to be wise. So for that, we boast. There are people who never set foot in a university, but they're more wise than anybody with a degree. If you lack wisdom, go see God, who gives to each man and woman liberally. So wisdom starts with God, and for that we boast. Then secondly, sanctification. We are sanctified. Hagiasmos, that's the Greek word, hagiasmos. And we are set apart for God to use. We are consecrated in a sense. And for that we boast. Lord, thank you for not only saving us, but you set us apart. You've given us a purpose. You've given us a mindset of how we ought to think, how we ought to profess, how we ought to love, how we ought to forgive, how we ought to live this life. Lord, thank you for saving us and then setting us apart that we may be considered holy, that we may be considered sanctified. Lord, thank you. For that we boast. Then lastly, Lord, thank you for redemption. Or polytrosis. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for liberating us. Thank you for delivering us. These are the three things that we ought to boast about. We've been called, we've been chosen, and we've been given Christian virtues by the way of knowing Jesus Christ. Don't let the world shut you up. Don't let the world dictate to you how you ought to celebrate and how you ought to brag. Brag daily. Brag all the time about Jesus Christ, not because of what you did, but because of what he has done in us. Brag on him. He is worthy to be praised. Boast about Jesus. Boast about his wonderful ways. Boast about his power, and boast about the determination he's given you. Boast about the eternality. Boast about him because he set us up with the Father that we may have a relationship. Boast about him because without Jesus, we wouldn't know the will of God. Boast about him because he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Boast about him because he's Joshua. He's Savior of our souls. Boast about him because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Boast about him because he's the lover of our hearts. Boast about him because he's Messiah. He's the Kyrios. He's the Anointed One. Boast about him. Boast about him because he's the Prince of Peace. Boast, I say, there's nobody like Jesus Christ. And if anybody is going to tell it, we ought to tell it. Everybody else is telling their own idea of what love is, but we ought to be telling the world what love is. We ought to be lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. We ought to be proclaiming his divine providence. We ought to be sharing with other people how good God is. I'm challenging you this morning. Get on your social media platforms and you boldly proclaim that Jesus is good. Boldly proclaim how good Jesus has been to you. I challenge you. Go ahead and tell others how good Jesus has been. Time is out for being a Secret Service Christian. We ought to tell the name of Jesus Christ in love. Go ahead and tell it. Go ahead and tell it. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere. Go ahead and tell it. Tell how good Jesus has been. Boast about him. The world needs to hear him about the gospel because they can get saved. The Christians need to hear more about Jesus so they can grow up in him. Go ahead, I said, and tell and brag and boast about the powerful name of Jesus the Christ. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you. It is our hope that the Holy Spirit is ministering to your heart right now. And as the Holy Spirit is moving, we invite you to come and share in the wedding banquet. In other words, if you don't know Jesus, we extend this overture to come and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus, we have people that can share with you as The information is being shown on the screen right now. There's a number you can call, and we have someone that can share with you. You don't want to leave this life without knowing Jesus. And you don't want to live this life without knowing Jesus. So we invite you to come, call the number on the screen, and someone will share with you. You still have time. You can call, and someone will share the gospel with you. Church, bow with me. Father God, we thank you. Your message has gone forth. The invitation has been extended. Please touch those who are wrestling with this decision. Release the grasp of the devil that they may step out in faith and develop a relationship with you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.